salvation. We thank the Lord for everyone that's here today. Appreciate your presence. And as we always say, we appreciate most of all the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
This is our week of Thanksgiving, so it seemed like it came a little early this year. We want to talk a little bit about giving thanks unto the Lord.
Yes.
And it's a reminder. Probably what I've said, you've heard from somebody before. But it's just a reminder. And I think that as we celebrate this holiday, and I think it's a good holiday to celebrate, that what turns everybody's minds into what God has done for them. Whether a person really believes in God or not, this is an opportunity that this whole nation celebrates, that we're thankful for something. So who do we thank? We thank God. We thank a higher power. We thank the Lord for all His great mercies, families, and those kinds of things that we have. And I want us to, as we meditate on it, as we spend some time with our families, as we meditate on these wonderful things that God has done for us, I want us just to take some time and thank the Lord. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants you to do as well. And I want to put in this passage, we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, read a very familiar text of Scripture. In everything it speaks about, give thanks. And I thought today, as I was on the computer, actually somebody pointed it out to me, you might have heard about the sun erupting. Have you heard that? That there is this eruption that's taking place on the sun. And generally it is away from where the sun is turned toward the earth, because if it was toward our earth, it would have some great consequences on our atmosphere. And I look at that, and I look at when they take the pictures of the sun and how hot it is. And then I think of the Scripture that says very plainly, the earth, we sing a song and the Scripture speaks about it as well, the earth shall melt with fervent heat, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And I can see how if the Lord just allowed a portion of the sun to come and consume this whole earth, it's very feasible for this earth to melt with fervent heat. Everything that we say is not burnable can burn if it's getting a high enough temperature. So why do I say that? I say that because I am thankful today that God gives us the understanding that we're not going to be here long, much longer. Now how much longer we're going to be here, I don't know. But the Lord is giving us, understand me when I say this, scientific evidence that He's coming back. And that what the Scripture says is right. And so, why am I thankful for that? I'm thankful for that because it gives me, it gives you, it gives all of us an opportunity to say, Lord, I want you to search my life. I want you to look at me, and I want you to examine my life, because I want to hear, as the sister said, those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just a few words. But it's important for us to hear those words come out of the mouth of the Lord. So, we examine our lives, and we thank the Lord that when He shows us these kinds of things, that we have the opportunity to clear up anything that may not be completely right with us. We have opportunity to clear that up. I'm talking to the saved and the unsaved. And so we thank the Lord, Lord, that You give us this level of understanding that we're going to meet You one day. And you know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago. Every time you hear about a death of someone or a sickness, put in a request for a young man that had several heart attacks and whatnot. You know, when you hear that, we should give thanks to those things. You know why? Because it reminds us that we're just mortal beings. It reminds us that we are not going to be here much longer. So again, make certain that we're where God wants us to be. And so when we hear of a death of somebody that dies, we are not thankful that this happened for them, unless they're saved, but we're thankful to God that we can give thanksgiving because, Lord, You're reminding me every time someone dies, You're reminding me that my time is closer than it ever has been. I don't know when that time is going to be. The sister said in her prayer that it may be, we may not even get out of this service. We trust that we will. We believe that we probably will, but it's no guarantee. But we're thankful that God gives us this privilege and opportunity to know Him. We thank the Lord for the privilege and opportunity to come to church and hear the Word of God, to be with people that are of like minds, people that love the Lord, people that are not concerned about what the world says, But they're concerned about what God says and how they're living before God. And do you know, that encourages me. It encourages you. It would be different. The brother brought out in Sunday school that he was going to another church, and what they were doing, they were smoking, the deacons and preachers and everything, going out smoking. We don't have that, do we? You can just about, you can guarantee that we're endeavoring by the grace of God to live what we're preaching. All right? Not only that, but you can go to my home and you can be in my home. And you know that we're living what we're endeavoring by the grace of God to live what we're preaching. Not hypocriting. Not doing something that we don't have any. We should be thankful for that. If we begin to list the things, and I want to talk a little bit today about that. If we were to list the things that we could be thankful for, we'd be here all day long. Really. And so I want us to take into consideration this word, things. It says, in everything. Well, let me take the S off here. Because I'm going to talk about these things. In everything, give thanks. Now let's go to that scripture, and I want you to read it for yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. Let's read a little bit above that. He gave us a few instructions to go by. They're about two verses up.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing.
Now, you know, it's difficult sometimes for us to rejoice because we have so many burdens. How many of you don't have any problems? Anybody here doesn't have problems? Every one of us have problems, don't we? But it says here, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Do you know sometimes the only way for us to rejoice evermore is to pray so that we can rejoice. Lord, have mercy on us. And thank you for giving us the understanding of the power of prayer. All right? We know that prayer works. We know that we can come to the Lord, and the Lord is going to be there when we need Him to be there. And we know that of a surety. All right? Rejoice, and I can rejoice because of that. Rejoice not just now, but I can rejoice forevermore. Not because I'm looking forward to problems, but because I know that my name is written in heaven. You know that when you have a solid understanding and a relationship with the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. These are two good instructional things for us to do, right? In everything, give thanks.
For this is the will of God
in Christ Jesus concerning you. I believe that we can use all of those scriptures, that the will of God is that you rejoice evermore. The will of God is that you pray without ceasing. When you're in a problem and you have a problem that you're coming up against the brick wall and it seems like nothing is able to move it, you know what? You can start praying then. And the Lord will make a hole in the wall. He'll make a way out of no way. They were standing before the Red Sea. And in a strait, walled in, mountains on each side, Egyptians coming behind, and this Red Sea. And we can't get through this Red Sea, but God made a way. And when you can pray without ceasing and you have this relationship with the Lord, that you have this clarity and understanding, Lord, I'm living to the level of understanding that I know that you're pleased with my life. If there's something in my life, Lord, examine me. Get rid of it. This is when we do that, don't we? And then we pray and we ask the Lord to make a way. And how many times has the Lord made a way for you? All right? How many times are our rejoicing has the Lord give it, lifting our spirits, Lord, and I start counting my blessing, when I start counting the things that I can be grateful for and thankful for and all what God has done for me, then you know what? There's something about my spirit that begins to rise, doesn't it? I can concentrate and I can put my focus on all the negatives and all the pessimistic things and all the things in my life. I can choose those things or I can choose to look at what God says in everything. He didn't just say the good things. He didn't just say the things that are working toward a good thing in your life. Okay, so it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One of the things that I do sometimes, have you ever noted how many times you use the word thing and what you use it for? It's when you look it up in the dictionary, one of the things that you'll notice is that it is a lot of definitions and a lot of very diverse definitions of things. It could be a word. It could be an occurrence. I'm going to read a few of them. Thing, an object, an inanimate object. What's that thing over there? We say that, right? Unspecified item, an unnamed or unspecified object. I need a few things from town. This definition here. An occurrence, something that occurs or something that is done is a thing. Word or a thought or utterance, a detail, an aimed objective of an action, concern, a matter of responsibility or concern. I have several things to do. We use thing, and this is not even it. This has got about 15 of things to explain what a thing is. And so the reason I'm bringing this point out, is it says living creature, it says garment, it says preferred activity. A gossip, not really my thing. What can be possessed, an object or a right that we can possess on our own, a strong like or a dislike. I've got this thing about spiders, what the definition is saying. All right? So I'm wanting to bring out, and it's several more that I can bring out, but I'm not going to bring it out because I believe that you get the point here. So there it could be various and a very diverse definitions to the word thing. And so the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Every occurrence, every circumstances, we can define that as a thing. All the things in our lives that seem to be working either for us or against us, we are to give thanks for that. For this is the will of God. Now, why is it the will of God for me to give, well, this is a terrible, terrible, tragic situation or tragic thing that happened in my life, and I don't see anything to be thankful about? The Lord said, be thankful anyway. Now, because there is something that He sees that you and I cannot see. So in everything that happens in my life, every occurrence, every circumstance, every definition that I have to the word thing, in all of those things, I am to thank the Lord, Lord, because you see something that I can't see. Now you know what I'm getting ready to go to, right? Romans 8:28. Let's read that. All right.
And we know
that all things, they work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, what we said in the first scripture is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. He said, because all of these things that are in your life are working together for your good. Just like in our body, oh, everything in our body is working together for our good, isn't it? All right? So we understand, Lord, I realize that even these tragic things, even the difficult situations, even when it is a tragedy, even when it's heartbreaking, whatever the issue may be, I understand that somehow this is working in a way that I don't see it. All right? Let's use it in this way. This example. This road right here leads to any road in the United States of America. I can go out in Riley Crest right here and I can get anywhere to any road, the most remote roads that may not even be on the map, that road is connected to it. You understand what I'm saying? It is directly connected to I-5 in California. It is directly connected to Interstate 10 in New York, or wherever they are, I don't even know, I-40 in Oklahoma. Every road in America is connected to that road right there. So, what we understand that when we get lost, don't we? We're looking at things from this standpoint, and all we can see is that little road there. But when we begin to look at a map that's been drawn, and we Google it, and we go to Google Maps, we can see how everything is interconnected to take us where we want to go. And so what we understand is that there are some things that happen in our lives, and these things are avenues, you might say, roads, things that the Lord actually works with us and deals with us on that takes us to where He wants us to go. So we have to understand that the Lord sees a bigger picture. And so when I'm going through, He says all things. He didn't just say the good things I can be very grateful for. Those things that are good I can be grateful for. But those things that are bad, there is no reason for you to be. Or those things that are innocuous. They don't seem to have any good or bad to them. I'm going to be in everything. All the good things are working for my good. All the things that I would define as bad things, whatever that may be, those things are working together. They are interconnected with what God's will and God's purpose is. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has a will and God has a purpose in everything that He allows to happen to your life, to my life, no matter whether it's good or bad. And God's design is that those things that cause us tragedy, they would draw us closer to Him. How many times have you been in a situation that all you could do is, Lord, I'm going to pray. All I can do is pray. Nobody can comfort you. Nobody understands. It seems like the words that they're saying are it doesn't do any good. Just be quiet. I don't want to be around anybody. Right now, have you ever been in those kinds of places? That you just needed some alone time. You needed to be by yourself. And maybe you're in a situation and the rest of it, we didn't know what to say. We didn't know what to do. And you just needed some time to be with the Lord. God has a way of drawing us closer to Him through the situations and the avenues, you might say, of life. The things that happen in our life. The Lord has a way of drawing us closer to Him in those things. If we allow it to work. We've got to let it work. Now what can happen in some of these things is that you can look at them and you don't see any benefit of whatsoever of why. When I'm in this place, Brother Darrell explained it to me and I can't explain it. Some things you have to take by faith. Some things you can't explain. But one of the things that I know, in all the bad things, look at the worst thing that could happen, I think, in the world, is that somebody, a mankind, would come and destroy his Creator. Literally kill Him. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's something about, you hear about, here again on the internet, this valedictorian that killed his mentally ill mother. Young man, right? All on the... See, we hear all that negative stuff. What about the ones that did a lot of good things for their mama? We don't hear about that. But maybe this person couldn't understand why all these things... I didn't even read it. Some things I don't even like to read. I don't even want to know what happened. But these things, I don't see any reason, they say, that these bad things that have happened in my life, I don't see any benefit to them, and they become bitter. People can become bitter. And so you have a choice. You have a choice. It is your choice that, Lord, I'm going to let these things work together. And it says, for we know it. As a child of God, I know that this is working for my good. I just don't know how. I don't see from the bird's eye view, you might say, that God sees how it's all interconnected. But I know it's interconnected. I know it by faith. I know that this very bad thing or this very good thing is connected to the bad thing. And God is going to take me through. I know that. That all these things that have transpired in my life and all the people, all of us, the Lord has put us together so that we can help each other get to heaven. Yeah. Do you realize that? This is why it's vital for you to be in service. Because you know what's happening? You know what your brother is doing? Your brother is encouraging you and he's working what he's saying and what he's doing. His faithfulness, his consistency, whatever it is that he's doing is affecting how you see God and is affecting you, trying to get you to heaven. We ain't going by ourselves. I'm not going to go to heaven by myself. You aren't going by yourself either. And so the Lord put us all in here together so that we can help each other get to heaven. This is why we don't let things come between us. This is why when the enemy puts offenses, we say, no, I'm working to get to heaven, and I'm not going to hate my brother. I'm going to love him. By this shall you know that they are my disciples when you have love one for another. I'm going to do what it takes for me to get to heaven. And you know what? Sometimes my brother, sometimes your husband, sometimes your wife, your brother, your sister, sometimes those are the ones. It says it's iron sharpens iron. Sometimes they sharpen you. Sometimes they get on your nerves. Has anybody close to you never gotten on your nerves? Of course they do. But that thing cannot come between you. That thing has to work for you for your good. And you need to give thanks for it. Even some things that I don't understand. Some things I don't understand. So here, we say here, one of the worst points is a child to take a parent's life, right? That parent is in essence, is the creator of that child. But do you know what? Humankind, God's creation, crucified Jesus Christ. At the push of the devil. The influence. And you know, that seemed like a terrible, terrible thing. Him hanging on the cross and dying a cruel death. But do you know what? I thank him for that. Because it worked for my good. And what Paul and Silas and Job and Peter and all of them went through, it has worked for my good. Because I'm reading a Bible, the Word of God, that is inspired by the Holy Ghost, written by men about their lives, and it has affected my life. So all the hardship that Job went through, I can thank the Lord. This is why Job was... What about Daniel? What about Jonah? You know, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And Jonah was not going to go to Nineveh. And he went down to the bottom of the whale. And you know what happened? About down in the whale, belly of the whale. And he went down to the bottom of the sea. You can't get no lower than that, can you? But do you know what Jonah did in the midst of that whale's belly? He gave thanks. He prayed and he thanked the Lord. Lord, I'm going to give you the sacrifice. What do you got to be thankful for? You're down where no light is. You're down in the worst kind of conditions. Let me tell you, how did he get there? He put himself in that condition through disobedience. He can't blame nobody else. What could you find to be thankful for in this kind of a situation? In everything that you find yourself faced with, you give thanks to the Lord. For this is the will of God. God has a purpose in what he's doing. You don't see the purpose of it, but God has a purpose in it. You know, I've had this expression, an embroidery. Some of you probably have done embroidering. And I say, if you take this fabric, and you turn it on the inside, you know, there's a reason that you have it like this, right? This liner here, because on the inside of the fabric is an opposite view of what you see on this side, the side that we see. But on the other side, it's not so pretty. It's a lot of thread, and you know what I'm talking about. It's a lot of thread, and it doesn't really look like it makes a whole lot of sense. But on the other side, when you see it, you see that it's something that's actually a beautiful masterpiece and a work of art. The tapestry. So in our lives, this is really what's happening. In our lives, sometimes all we see is the needle and the thread from this side. And Lord, I don't see the beauty that you're making here. Lord, would you help me to see what it's going to look like? And sometimes the Lord gives us a peek of what it's going to look like. Really, what it's going to look like is him. So we go through these things. And so these bad things that happen, the bad thing that happened to Christ was the best thing that ever happened to me. Isn't that wonderful? So I can give thanks. So now I wonder if that has anything to do with what I'm in right now, with the trial that you're in right now. I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that you're in the midst of the trial and it seems like it's a difficult trial, but the worst thing that's happening to you may be the best thing that's happening to somebody else. All right, let's go to another scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things. So the Lord, he said, I'm doing all this for you. I'm doing all of this for you, all right?
That the abundant grace
might through the thanksgiving of many, right, through the thanksgiving of many,
redound to the glory of God.
Read.
For which cause we faint not.
We don't faint.
But
though our outward man perish,
yet the inward man
is renewed day by day.
For our light afflictions,
which is but for a moment,
they work for us
a far more exceeding and eternal.
So there's something more than what I'm going through right now.
It's working for my benefit.
And it's not just for my benefit here. It's for my benefit over on the other side. All right?
While we look not at the things that are seen,
but at the things that are not seen.
For the things which are seen are temporal,
but the things which are not seen are eternal.
So in everything, give thanks.
In everything, all the things, all the occurrences, all of the situations in my life,
everything, you give thanks unto the Lord. Everything.
The small things,
the large things, the things that are not so large,
the horrible, tragic things that happened to me.
Lord, help me to realize that
there's something to it that you're trying to do to me.
Have mercy on me.
Help me to get it.
Help me to look at it. Help me to understand it, Lord.
All the good things. I know that those things are worth.
Oh, let me tell you all what the Lord did for me.
You get up and you testify about it.
But you know what? What about the times when it seems like you prayed and the Lord didn't do it?
And then you testify and say, but you know what? You know the way that I take, Lord.
You know the way that I take. I know that this is working for my good.
I don't see it. I just know it in my heart.
I know it in the depths of my spirit, in my being, that this thing is going to turn out.
Right now it looks bad, but in a minute, it's going to look all right.
It's going to change.
Saints, be encouraged.
The Lord's going to take care of you.
Whatever it is that you're going through right now, God is in control.
Let Him control your life.
Don't try to take it out of His hand and steer it in the direction that you think it needs to go.
Because sometimes, how many times have we been in situations that if we had known then what we know now,
we wouldn't have done what we thought. We thought it was a good decision then, didn't we?
This is why we pray about everything.
This is why it says pray without ceasing. And sometimes
the Lord will tell us, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to move.
But Lord, I need to do something. I need to stabilize this cart
The cart, what is on the cart, though?
The
ark.
Ark.
Thank you. Thank you. Having a senior moment a little too early.
The ark on the cart is going to fall down.
And Lord, I need to stabilize it. Lord, and give me authority to stabilize it.
And so the Lord says, Lord, shall I touch it? He says, no, don't touch it.
I've been in situations like that. Well, you know, if I had put my hands on it a lot sooner, maybe things would have done better.
Have you ever second-guessed yourself?
I'm the king of it.
I've done it on many occasions. Well, should I have done this or should I have done that?
And then, but I've learned over the years that you pray, you ask the Lord, you make the decision that you feel like the Lord would have you to make at this point, and you leave it in the Lord's hands.
You have to do that. Some of us have just different kind of personalities, don't we?
Some can just make a decision and never think about it again because they know that that's the best decision at the time.
But you know what? We've got to learn from the Lord.
Lord, I don't know what's best. I can't see the future.
I don't see how this thing is working with this thing. It's working with this. I don't see that.
You see it.
And then you learn to leave it with the Lord.
You have to learn that.
Even, you know, I thought, well, if I had touched it, it would have been better. I should have done this.
No, you shouldn't have. You should have done just what you did.
And you can't change it now anyway.
So leave it in the Lord's hand.
You know, and I've learned that I've done some things. All of us have, no doubt.
We've done some things that we put our hands on it, and the Lord just smote us right there.
You shouldn't have done that.
Well, Lord, I was just thinking that was the right thing.
You shouldn't have done it.
I got this. I, that's my ark.
That's my cart.
That's my oxen.
He stumbled for a reason. I want you to trust me that I can hold up what's mine. I can keep it in the where I want it to be.
So the Lord teaches us that.
And sometimes He teaches with very difficult lessons that we have to learn.
So we step back and it looks like we're doing nothing. And it looks like
We're just inactive, but you know what? No, we're not passive about this. We're actively praying and asking the Lord, Lord, that's your cart. If it falls off, if that ark falls off, that's your problem, not mine. Because you haven't given me authority to touch it. So, Lord, I'm just going to be a prayer. Oh, Lord, it stumbled. And when it stumbled and fall, I'm just going to look at it. Yes, he can do whatever he wants to do. But it's not for me to touch it. And when it is for me to touch it, he'll make it clear. This is why you pray without ceasing. Lord, what should I do here? When we get too confident in ourselves, then we make a lot of mistakes. We make things worse sometimes. And you shouldn't have touched that. You shouldn't have, well, I figured that they needed somebody to do something. Well, they didn't need you to do it. Am I right? Lord, help us. So, saints, we have to learn how to be still. Be still. And let the Lord work. All right? So, it says here, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and it says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. The abundant grace, all these things, this is what I'm giving thanksgiving, Lord, for. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So what is it showing you? It's showing you two different men, isn't it? The outward man, none of us are as young as we were 10 years ago. Some of you weren't even here 10 years ago. And the older we get, you know what? We get aches and pains down in the joints and whatnot, don't we? And there's a few wrinkles and a few more gray hairs than what I had 5 years ago. Can't do what I used to do when I was 25. None of us can that are in my age group and older. Lord, help us. So we realize and understand that we need the Lord. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. I am a stronger spiritual man than I was 10 years ago, than I was when I was 25. We can deal with some things. We can bear some burdens that we couldn't bear 25 years ago. We can go through some things. We can fight some battles that we couldn't fight. The outward man perished. The inward man is renewed day by day. I'm getting younger. I'm getting stronger, spiritually speaking. But I may be getting weaker on the outside, but not on the inside. So that shows us two separate things here. One man on the outside, one man on the inside. All right? Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Now, what do those light afflictions, who do they affect most? They affect the outward man. They affect me and my body, the way that I think, my emotions, all the things, our spirit. It affects us in a certain way, but they are light afflictions. They're light afflictions, which are but for a moment. How long is a moment? That long? How long is our 72 years or 100 years, however long it is? How long is that in the light of eternity? Have you noticed that as you get older, it seems like time speeds up? It seems like it was just last year that we were having Thanksgiving. I mean, just last week. You understand what I'm saying? The older we get, the faster time goes. All right? So it says, there just but a moment worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So the reason I can be thankful and give thanks in everything is because I don't always look at the things that I can see. There's something more. There's something that God is working, an eternal weight of glory. That when I get there, what is he? Maybe this has something to do with the crown. Maybe the only way to get that pearl that's going to be in my crown is to take me through this trying time that I'm going through right now. Maybe the only way for him to thread into my robe or into my mansion, I don't know what he's doing, but the only way for him to do it is for me to go through this affliction that's not, it don't seem like to me now. But when I get over on the other side and I look back and I see that God took me through all of this, it's a light affliction. That's all it is. And maybe, you know, how are diamonds made? How are jewels made? And you know what? He speaks about the jewels in our crowns and whatnot, in his crown, and we're like jewels for him. And so we know that diamonds are made by tremendous pressure. So the Lord brings us through tremendous pressure, and this outward man seems like it can barely make it. But oh, what do we see on the inside? There is something that comes up out of all of that. There is something that comes out of that that's beautiful. The life of Christ reigning and ruling in me, that inward man is changing and is becoming more like Christ. My heart is praying. That's what I prayed for. And so, Lord, how do you get that diamond? You just squeeze it a little bit. You put it under pressure. And now I need to keep it there for this amount of time. How do you bring about the gold that's going to be in the crown? You need to take it to a furnace. You need to purify it. It's going to be, you need to mold it into what it's going to be. And the only way for that to happen is for it to be heated. So, Lord, in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. I give thanks for this furnace. I don't see what it's doing now, but I know over on the other side, I'm looking at something that's unseen, and that's why I can be thankful for these things. I don't see it, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't know it, but I thank you for it anyway. Because I know in the depths of my heart that it's going to work for my good. I know it is working for my good. So we give thanks. Right? We give thanks. So what do we say? We talk about thanksgiving. So we gave, giving. Right? Give. Something that I can do now, right? Jesus gave his life. He doesn't have to give. Do it again. It's done. The work is done. And it's for every one of us. And every person on the face of this earth, if today, if they decided to kneel down and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed in my life. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to dwell in me. I want you to forgive me of the sins. I'm sorry that I committed them. If every man, woman, boy, and girl knelt down today, at the same time, simultaneously, and with the sincere desire in their heart, the blood of Jesus, the blood that Jesus already gave, is still powerful enough to save every man simultaneously. It is to destroy, it has the power to destroy every demon. That's why I'm thankful for what he did. It has the power that the blood be applied to my mind, and he can clear my mind up. He can do anything because he gave his life for me. And I'm thankful for that. I thank the Lord that he gave. And you know what? And now that blood that he gave, he was willing to give. He said, Lord, I'm willing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus gave his life for us. He said, I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to do this. And then he gave it, and that life keeps on giving. It affects you. And so I can be thankful that it's still giving. So when we say thanksgiving, it means that it's continual. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's thanksgiving. I'm giving thanks continually to God. Continual. Just continual giving thanks for what it is. So he said, with everything, give thanks. Everything, give thanks. Everything, give thanks. Everything. In everything. You notice it didn't say for everything. It's while I'm in the midst of it. Give thanks to the Lord. Yes. Read it, please. I have many things to say unto you. You can't bear them yet. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself.
He shall not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear.
But shall
he speak.
Yes.
And he will show you things to come.
He will show you things to come. Things that are not yet.
Glorify me.
You shall glorify me.
He shall receive of mine.
Shall receive of mine.
He shall show it unto you.
He shall show it unto you.
All things.
All things that the Father has, they're mine. Jesus is saying this.
Therefore said I.
Therefore said I.
And he shall take of mine.
He shall take of mine.
He shall show it unto you.
He shall show it unto you.
A little while.
Little while.
Ye
shall not see me.
Again a little while.
Ye shall see me.
Because I go.
Shall go to the Father. So what he says is all things are his. And then what does he do? He get the Father, all the things that belong to the Father, they're his. The Father's given them to him. All the things that belong to the Son are ours. You know why? Because he's given them to us. All things. So all of these things, when you look at your life, when you look at the difficulties in your life, thank the Lord for them. When you look at the things that seem to press you sore, thank the Lord for them. When you look at the things that you wish that didn't happen, Lord, thank the Lord for them. Because they're all working together. And I'm going to give, as the scripture says, in all these things, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. I want to read another scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It's another person. You know what Daniel, remember Daniel's situation? When all those folks went and they were jealous of Daniel. And they said, you know, we're not going to find anything wrong with this man unless we find it wrong with his God. So they made this decree that nobody can seek any petition from anybody other than you, King, for the next 30 days. And what did Daniel do? The scripture says, when he knew that the decree was signed, he went and opened his window, and what he was going to do. They knew what he was going to do. He opened his window, and what did he do? Thank you, Lord. He started thanking the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Started thanking the Lord. I guess that the petition was signed. That the decree was signed. That these men, Lord, I thank you because I know you're going to take me through it. Now, what if Daniel hadn't done that? He said, you know you're going to get thrown in the lion's den, but he thanked the Lord. I'll get thrown in the lion's den. Maybe I'll get to go to heaven a little sooner. I get out of all of this. But Lord, you placed me here in this position, and I'm going to continue to be the example that you want me to be. He opened his window, and he began to thank the Lord, prayed, and gave thanks unto the Lord. That's what we're to do in the midst of when we know that we're going to be persecuted. Thank the Lord for it. They threw him in the den of lions, and what happened the next day? He was there with the lion. I wonder if he used one of them lions as a pillow, laying down. He just kind of scoot up to him. Use him as a pillow that night. The king comes running to it. The king tried to get out of it, didn't he? I'm just paraphrasing. Y'all can read it at your own discretion. That's the 6th chapter of Daniel. The king comes running to him and said, "Oh, Daniel, is your God able to do this?" He said, "Oh, what did he say? Oh, king, you live forever." The man spoke. He was in the den of lions. Hungry lions that hadn't been fed, but he gave thanks, and the Lord took him through where hungry lions, what does the scripture say about the devil as a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour? He was wanting to devour him, but the Lord closed his mouth. He said, the Lord did something to me. Why? Did Daniel thank the Lord as he was being thrown in the den of lions? Probably. Can you thank the Lord? These are things that the Lord gives us and gives us understanding. And I'll take you through all of your little problems, all of your little light afflictions. You think are so gigantic, I'll take you through those if you'll thank me, if you'll rejoice evermore, if you'll pray without ceasing, if you'll give thanks in everything. If you will know that it works for your good, if you will look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. I want you to look at something you can't see. I want you to look with the eye of faith through this, that I'm able to do this exceeding abundantly above all that you ask for. I want you to do that, and that's what I'm working on. I'm working on your faith. You're so concerned and so consumed about the things that you see, the things that are happening to you, and you're not the things that are temporal. You're so consumed by this, and I want you to look away from those things, and I want you to give thanks for what you cannot see. Daniel, did he see the victory? Did he see that I'm going to go down that lion's den? Did the Hebrew boys, when I'm going in this furnace, did they see that God was going to be in there with them? Yes, they saw it, but not in the way probably that we see it in the story. Well, if he does, oh king, fine, then the Lord can deliver us. I know he can. I know this will work for my good, but if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust him. Lord, help us. That's where we have to be, saints. That's where we have to be. All right, let's read that scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. We'll try to bring it to a close.
We're bound to give thanks always to God for you.
Brethren, beloved,
Okay, we're bound. I want to just take that little part. I don't think it'll take anything away from me. We're bound to give thanks to God. We're bound. We ought and are obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks to the Lord. So we have a responsibility. What He's done. How many of you continue to give people things that they are not thankful for? How many times Christmas is coming? I know Thanksgiving ain't here yet, but that's already Santa Claus and all these Christmas stuff is in the stores already, right? How many times have you bought a toy for a child and they threw it on the ground and said, "I don't want this"? What'd you do? What did you do? I'd have picked it up and said, "Okay." Put it back in the wrapper, took it back, got my money back. Now you ain't getting nothing. That's how we did it. That's how our family did it. You teach them how to be thankful. You suppose God is any different? God is gracious to the unthankful. All right, I want to refer to one other scripture, and we're gonna close this. You know what? You remember that 4,000 people that needed to be fed? We referred to it last Sunday. Jesus took the bread, loaves, and the fishes, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He began to disperse it, and 4,000 people were fed. You know, sometimes I know all of us sometimes have financial trauma. We need the Lord to take care of. You know what you do? You think, "Lord, this is all I got, and I needed to do this, 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 and this." And it don't stretch that far. You know what you need to do? Thank the Lord. "Well, I wish I had another job. I wish I had made more money." All these things you can wish, but that ain't going to get no good. But you can thank the Lord for what you've got. And I've seen this happen. I've seen when you thank the Lord for what you got and you start breaking it off here and pinching it off there, the Lord stretches it. Something you thought was going to be $100, well, that was just $37.50. I'm telling you, the Lord has a way of doing it. But you got to be thankful. You got to thank the Lord for what you have and not look at what somebody else has. "I wish I had as much money as Ross Perot." I do too. But I don't. I got enough money to do what the Lord wants me to do. Saints, we're bound to give thanks unto the Lord. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Pray for me.